Once in a while, the Lord gives me something a little unusual, and I have it that way this morning. I want to talk to the children. Most Sunday mornings, we have a message for the adults, and the children have to tolerate it. And I'm sure it's not always as interesting to them. We'll do it the other way around this morning and let the adults be bored and talk to the children. Could I have permission to do that?
Yes.
In order to do what we have in mind, we have to make some departures from our usual way of having a Sunday morning worship service. But because children are affected in a different way, I have a burden for them. I want to try to make an impression on them of some things that they will never forget.
Yes.
Mostly that somebody cared for them in the worship service, but also the principles of what we have to say would stay in their minds. So in order to do it, because they are children, we try to set up a little demonstration that's extraordinary. Then it's going to involve changing some things around in the chapel a little bit for a few minutes, some things like that. But I respectfully ask you to remember that this is a worship service, and although I may speak with them in a more familiar way, that we want to do what we do with reverence and awe with regard to what it is. So, anyway, I'd like the children to come up front, if you will, as many as can. We're full enough this morning, it's kind of hard. But some of the older folks might have to move back an hour or two. Isn't it unusual to be asked to sit back in the meeting? Thank you, folks. And parents, if your child gets a little rowdy and you see I need some help, we'll be free to tell you about it. I want to talk about David and Goliath. Who can tell me that story in just a few words? Do you know the story of David and Goliath? Everybody knows it. Well, who can tell me the story? Anybody? Who was David? Tell me. Where is that on the microphone? Would you take the turn, please? Tell us about David, if I ask for all of a sudden.
He was a boy, yeah. And he was going to go give his brother some food, yeah. And they were all scared of Goliath,
yeah.
And we're all running away, and he said, "Why are you guys scared of him?" And they said, "Because he's too big and strong." And he said that he was going to fight him. And so all started laughing. And the king told them to bring him to him. And then he was fighting Goliath, and he picked up 5 stones, and he hit him in his forehead with one, and he fell to the ground.
That's pretty well caught it all, isn't it? That's very good. Thank you very much. Well, how big was Goliath?
90.
How many?
90.
All right. That's pretty big, isn't it? Well, in order to show you just how big, I asked Brianna to make a life-size drawing of Goliath. And we've got it so we can set it up in here this morning. I want you to see how big he was. Can we do that, Steve? What about if we put it right here, put the base up against this. It's too tall to go in this space. And then back the pulpit up here and let the back of it rest against that and push it up against the ceiling.
We might be able to. We have to move this first.
We can do that, but people can't see all of it if it's up here.
However you want to do it. You want me to just bring it right there?
Can you do that?
Yeah.
Then Steve will need some help because this is pretty big Goliath. Then somebody help us move these altar benches, please. Maybe we can just slide them straight forward. Goliath was descended from the Anakims. Remember who the Anakims were? The Israelite spies came back from Canaan and said, "There's giants over there." This is what they were talking about. And Caleb, would you come and help me out for a minute, please? David at that time was about 19 years old, and how tall is he? Do you know? He's over 5 feet, isn't he? David was about 5 feet, standing here beside him. If you got your cell phone and you want a picture of that, you're not going to see that again. I'll step out of the way. And I want to say just a word about it. Oh, commendation. Thank you. That's good enough. I got in touch with Brianna Thursday and asked her if she could do this for me. I'd want her to give me just an outline, anything that would demonstrate how big that man was. And I think, I don't think much about clapping in meetings, but that girl exceeded herself. She really deserved respect and appreciation. She put a lot of effort into it and made it very lifelike.
God bless her.
Well, he blessed us to have her in our congregation. And I really appreciate that very much. Thank you, Brianna, for your effort that made this possible. So he was a pretty big old boy, wasn't he? But you can see, he's got armor on his legs, an armor around his waist, an armor on his chest, an armor on his head. That spear in his hands, the Bible says, as big as a weaver's beam. And he had a servant. We didn't draw a servant. Armor bearer that came along behind him. And he had a shield with him that's almost big enough to cover the whole man. They made him as invulnerable as they could think of a way to make him. Everything they could do. So what was Saul's answer to dealing with that? Saul's a king. Now obviously, as long as this situation is going on, life can't continue in Israel like it was before. Nobody can plant any crops. Nobody can build any houses. All you've got to think about is Goliath. He's the monster. So what was Saul's answer? Does anybody know? It's so political. It's so typical. Anybody get rid of him, I'll give you a bunch of my money and a daughter. And that's it. He's got this Saul. And David came along. He didn't want his money. He didn't want his daughter. But he did want to solve the problem. And children, you're going to have some problems in your life that look just as big as this is. And I want to talk to you about how people deal with things when they have a problem that they're afraid of and they don't really want to solve it. They just want somebody to feel sorry for them. They get it and they wind it all up into a ball and make it look as complex as they can. See, how can you solve that? So here's how they did it. This old boy said, there's no way to deal with him. He's 9 feet tall and 6 inches. He's got on a bronze helmet, coat of scale armor. That coat that he's got on weighs 125 pounds. He's got greaves on his legs. We're never going to get him down by kicking him in the shins. He's got a bronze javelin, big as a weaver's beam, with spear point, just a point on that spear, weighed 25 pounds. Shield bearer behind him, a full body shield. And every time somebody says, let's go take him, he says, oh, there's no way we can do that. Look at that monster. He's 9 feet 6 inches tall. His spear point weighs 15 pounds. His coat weighs 100, weighs more than you do. And it wasn't just him. He's got this other guy behind him. He's got his shield and he boiled it all up into one. You read it in the Bible and you can see. They put that all into one bag. And they said, that's too big for anybody to solve. So we'll offer the daughter and some money and hope for the best. People do that with their problems in life. When people really want to solve their problems, listen to me, children. You pick out the things you can solve and do it. And then move toward, when you get to the things that you can't solve, they have a way of being soluble after all. David can't go out there with his sword and beat him. He knows that. Saul knows that. His brothers know that. What can he do? The first thing he did was go to the king and get permission to do something. And the king offered him his armor. Remember that story? The king offered him his armor. And what did David say? Tried on the king's armor, didn't he? What did he say? What did he say?
I don't need your armor or your shield.
He said, I haven't proved it. Listen to me. You can't solve your problems in life with somebody else's skills. You have to have your own. David had spent years learning how to use a slingshot. Nothing more than that. He became a time when he got good with a bow and arrow and swords, but not then. You stick with what you know how to do. And you solve the part that you can. I can't beat him with, but this is what I got. So he took it. Got permission. What's the next thing he did? He walked down the valley toward him. You can do that, can't you? I don't know what in the world I'm going to do when I get there. But I'm sure not going to do anything up here in the king's house having a talk with him. I got to go down there where the trouble is. And what did he do next? Things that he'd been doing for years. Stopped in the stream bottom and picked up 5 smooth stones. That little bag that David had, carried with him all the time, always had a sling in there, used to using it. Now, could you do that? Could your children do that? Could you tell the king, I'm not too afraid of him to try it? Well, I mean, it's really just words. You could say them, couldn't you? Tell the king, I'm not too afraid to try it. Could you walk down the hill? That's not too hard, is it? What about 5 smooth stones? Could you pick up 5 smooth stones and put them in your bag? You know, the Bible said they're smooth stones. If they're rough stones, they rub against each other and make sparks and burn the bag up. If people try to work together that have got rough places on them, they'll knock sparks with each other and burn the bag up. And it won't work very well. He got 5 smooth stones. But what's the next thing he did? He got a yelling match for the giant, didn't he? You little runt coming out here to tackle me, I'll feed you to the birds. And David didn't take that. He said, I'm coming to you. I got some things going for me too. I believe the Lord's going to help me out. We sing a song sometimes in our book about songs of victory. Victory shall be the chorus. You know, when you're fighting an enemy and you've got knights coming on, the enemy's going to try to attack you. You always try to get a password that the enemy can't say. During the Second World War, our troops always get a password with L in it because the Japanese had trouble saying L. So it'd be lollipop or something. And victory, that's a word the devil can't say. So he's singing victory. The Lord's going to help us. Then what do you do next? What was the next thing David did? Anybody? Oh, come
on. I come to you in the name of the Lord.
All right. He told him what he's doing. And then it's time to put action to words. What did he do? Tell me.
Killed
the lion. Yeah, but how do you do it? Slingshot, didn't he? Started whirling the swing over his head. Could you do that? Could you do that? And then turn it loose. And then it's all over. Down he goes. You don't have to worry about these. You don't have to worry about this. You don't have to worry about this or that up there. You solve the parts you can. And you count on the Lord to help you with the parts that you can't solve. Everybody has Goliaths in their life in one way or another.
Amen.
And the devil likes to try to fool you into making a big ball out of all the terrible forces that he's got. Look at that big old helmet made out of brass. Look at this suit of armor. He's got plates in that thing so he can move around in it. Look at these on his legs. You can't even hit him anywhere but the toes. That's the only part that's unprotected. How are you going to deal with a monster like that? You solve the parts you can. All right. When you get big enough to drive, you're driving home and you have a flat tire. What do? My car won't run. I have a flat tire. You do the parts you can. You look to see if you got a jack. If you've got a jack in the car, you've got instructions with the jack. And it'll tell you how to use it. And there'll be a tire tool there. And you can use that to take the hubcap off. And you can use a jack to lift the car up. Somebody else thought of all of that. All you have to do is look for the jack, and it's got instructions on it what to do. Or you can sit there by the side of the road and cry. And it's hard for tears to change a tire. It just doesn't work very well. But people try it all the time. Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you, children? I really hope so. So this is what David did. What part did God play in this? Did God talk to the king? Who did that?
David.
David did. Did God pick up the stones?
No.
No. Did God whirl the sling?
No.
Who did that?
David.
Well, what happened when Saul fell down, or Goliath fell down? Who went and destroyed him? Did God do that? God, how? What happened? Do you remember? What happened? It hit him in the head, and he fell down. And then what happened? David went and got his own sword, Goliath's own sword, and cut his head off. Did you remember that? So who cut his head off? Did God come down and cut his head off?
No.
So who did all this actually? Did God do it or did David do it?
David.
David did. What part did God do?
Gave him the courage.
What did he do?
Gave him the courage.
Gave him the courage? But there's one thing more that I want to show you. I left a bag right there in front of me, Brother James. And I want three or four of your boys to come back here with me for a minute. I'll show you how hard this is to do. The space above Goliath's eyes. That's another spot. If you shoot this at Goliath and you hit him in the neck, what do you think is going to happen next? He is going to be mad. And he might be standing there talking to you before, but he's coming after you if you do that. Well, we got to get you out of the way of these fans. The police say if you're within 21 feet of a man with a knife and you've got a gun, he'll get you if he wants to. But we can't get that far back from him. But I want to let you try to hit him with a slingshot and see what you can do. And I've marked these, so hopefully you can tell where they hit. Take one. Yeah, David got the practice and you don't. But you see that little space right under his helmet? That's where you got to get him. So you can try it. Don't point that at anything but this. Be very careful. Let me get out the way. It didn't mark, did it? Where'd you hit it?
Right under the eye.
Under the eye. Thank you. You want to try it, buddy? You can try it from here. Whatever you want to do. Doing anything wrong. My purpose is to show how hard it is to do. Make a deal that gives you a little clearer shot. That didn't get to his head, did it? You want to try it? See? David only got one shot. Listen, man. Thank you, boys. Did anybody get him in that critical spot? Well, think of this as your problems in life. You can follow the best skill you've got. You can follow the best instructions anybody can give you. But there is a point where unless God directs what you're doing, that's the part the Lord did, isn't it? Somewhere between the sling and the giant, the Lord guided that rock. And it hit in just the right place. It wasn't a simple thing. If that didn't happen, David's going to get killed and his nation's going to be in trouble. It depended on God to help him. You're going to see times in your life when your family or your career or other things that are really important to you come down to one critical point and you need a hand bigger than your hand to guide you in it. You understand what I'm saying? And I asked you a while ago what part God was in. But the fact is, he was in all of it. David, he went and talked to the king. But who made the king let him talk to him?
Who made the king willing to let a little 19-year-old boy convince him to go undertake a job like this? It wasn't David's skill. God did that.
Yes, he did.
When he went down in the valley, who had equipped David? He got to practice. Who saw to it he got to practice? God did that. David had no idea what was going on. But God did that. When he picked out the 5 smooth stones, who helped him get the one that was suited to the job? Who did? God helped him, didn't he? Everything you ever do with the Lord is cooperative. There's a part for God to do and a part for you to do. Listen to me. I'm thinking about some of the Goliaths people have in their lives. I've had some. And everybody does. And in that bag back there by Brother Clyde, I got some clothespins. Maybe I can slip that under here for now. Somebody to walk through life with you. You'd like to grow up and get married? Have a home and a family? Well, do you think there's a girl somewhere praying for a boy who never brushes his teeth? And who throws his socks on the floor when he gets done wearing them, and who never makes his bed, and when he gets done with his room, it always looks like a pig pen. You think there are any girls praying for a boy like that? And one that, when it's time to get up to go to school, mother has to come and get him, call him 3 or 4 times before he get up. You think a girl's praying, oh, please give me somebody who smells bad, who thinks the way to get a girl to like him is to chase him with a frog. Things of that sort.
That sounds like a dumb.
I'm sorry? David had been preparing for this moment for years. You are preparing now for your adult lives. Your parents are trying to teach you. Always clean up after yourself. Always make a bed. Always get up and go to school. Do your schoolwork on time. My boy thought doing a book report meant reading Snoopy stories, Charles Schultz's peanut stories. And the teacher finally got in touch with my wife and told him he's got to read a real book. You understand? Life expects you to be prepared. Well, you think there are any boys praying, girls that are praying, Lord, give me a girl who spends all her time looking at her fingernails and how perfect they all are. And who can't boil water without burning it. And no idea how to cook anything. Do you think there's any boys praying for a girl like that? Or who doesn't care how she looks. You see her, not sure whether she's a girl or a boy. Look like something crossed in between. And so forth. Do you think there are boys praying for a girl like that? If you want to have a mate, the Lord wants you to have one. And there is a part for him to do. But you can't do it all at this altar. You can't say, well, I consecrate everything to you, Lord, so send me Susie to come and be in my life. You've got to have some preparations for Susie to get there. It's a cooperative effort. There's a part for God to do and a part for you. You understand what I'm trying to tell you? Please tell me that you do. All right. So this is part of it. There's another big one. Money. You like money? I like money. I don't have much of it, but I like it. I found out some things about money. People don't give it to you for being good looking. Very much. In life, if you want to have money, you have to know how to do something that people will give you money for doing. You understand? So when somebody is trying to teach you how to work, you need to listen to them. You'll find out someday. Money can be a real, real Goliath. I'm thinking of somebody I knew who came to us, a real story, in debt, credit card debt, 21%, tens of thousands of dollars in debt on their vehicle, borrowed money from all their friends, crying. Go to the altar. Lord, help me. Get me out of debt. They need somebody to help them. But if you gave them the money today and paid every nickel of it, in 3 months they'd be in the same place. You've got to do something yourself that makes money come into your hands. Then God will guide the stone. He'll put opportunities there. But you have to do something with it. Listen to me. When you promise somebody something, under-promise what you can do and over-perform. I was a carpenter. One of my builders was that way. Only one. I knew more who were the other way. When he had set a contract with somebody to build a house, he had promised them what he could build it for, and he tried to be careful what he stated. Then when he got done and handed them the keys to one hand, he'd hand them a check with the other. He'd say, this is $3,000 or $5,000 that I saved in this house that you didn't know about. So I found a sale on the light fixtures, or I found a sale on something else, carpet, and hand them a check and shock them. And they never ran out of work. But I've seen some others who left their customers feeling like they got cheated. And that word spreads fast. Money is a Goliath. The Lord wants to help you deal with Goliath, but there's a technique. There are some things you have to do in order to make that all come to pass. You still follow me? All right. This one doesn't concern you much now, but it will one day. Health. You can't live just any way you want to and expect the Lord to keep you in good health. And here's one. I don't guess I can make that. Friends. But I'll say bigger. Relationships. That's a real Goliath. I'll tell you a story. My grandmother had 9 children. And she had one daughter that she liked less than all the others. And so she was mean to that girl. She made her do all the dirtiest jobs. Anytime something went wrong, she blamed that girl. And so that girl grew up feeling that. That's pretty hard when you're 12 years old or 14. What would you do? That's Goliath when you sing. What would you do? How do you deal with that when you're a child and your mother is doing that sort of thing?
Run away.
The Bible says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. The best you can do is build good principles in yourself and use them toward life. And you'll find if you do that, it disarms Goliath over time. That girl grew up and found out her mother was not the only person in the world. She found a man who loved her. She married him, had a family. She had boys and girls who loved her. She had neighbors and friends who loved her because she cultivated good attitudes herself. You understand what I'm saying? Those who would have friends must show themselves friendly. It's not all in that sling. It's not all in that moment when the stone leaves the sling that hits over there on Goliath. It's in the preparations. It's up to you to do that.
Yes, it is.
Your parents are doing everything they can to help you. But in the end, it's going to be up to you. If you decide to be selfish or lazy, well, there will come a time when nobody can stop you. And you won't have enough to eat and nobody will like you. That's the way those things go in life. Maybe that's enough of those things. You will find in life, children, I hope you listen for this. You will find in life that if you serve the Lord and you do the part that you know how to do, when you get to the critical moment, God knows what to do to defeat all the armor that Goliath has and give you a victory. And that's what I have for this morning. I hope you remember it.